This is everybody loves this one. This is the old black and white and a very disgusted looking day. Must have done something wrong on deck. There wasn't any shrimp at all in the trawl. I don't know.
In an old black and white photo on Barb Grenier's wall, her husband Bill wears a puzzled frown as he looks out the window of the Charles W. Another shot tells of a banner day aboard the old gray beam trawler. It shows her with a deckload of wooden crates, each filled with small pink shrimp, more commonly known as Petersburg shrimp in Alaska and the Northwest. Barb says they ran back to town early that day to offload the big catch at the cannery.
And this is our 60-box day, 10 o'clock in the morning. I had to climb up the railing to go get somebody because there wasn't anybody around.
You used to haul those, what are those, 100-pound boxes?
Those were 100-pound wooden boxes, right.
That was the way it was, a big haul one day, not much another day, and either way, Bill Grenier and his family loved the lifestyle. He fished the Charles W. for a quarter century, 7 days a week, every week of a season that could last 9 to 10 months of the year. He'd head out before dawn and return each evening to land his catch at the cannery. Barb says her family depended on the Charles W. for their livelihood, and the cannery depended on them for shrimp.
And we were the ones who provided the resource for them, and we depended on the boat to be able to ask her to work her so we could go out and do this, you know, sort of thing. So, yes, she became part of our life.
Bill Grenier took over as skipper of the Charles W. in 1976 at the request of Dave Omer Sr., who owned the vessel in Alaska Glacier Seafoods in Petersburg.
He was proud when Davey Omer asked him if he'd like to skipper the boat. It was just skipper the boat. And it just kind of... Yeah, you know, just perked him up, and he felt important. He felt he had something to hang on to, something that he could work, something that belonged to him every day, and that he had a big responsibility. And it grew from there, and he just fell in love with it, you know, and fell in love with the boat.
Grenier's father, Bill Sr., had skippered the 63-foot wooden shrimper many years earlier, so Bill Jr. had already fished her and knew her well. Barb says he talked to the W every morning when she started up.
He'd slap her on the wheel and say, "Come on, girls, time to go to work," you know. And he was up there in the pilot house talking one morning. I'd come up with coffee, and I stopped, and I kind of looked up in the pilot and said, "Who are you talking to?" You know, it wasn't me for sure.
Yeah, fishing's always been a family affair in Alaska, and Barb and Bill Grenier continued that tradition with their children, Andy, Joe, and Cindy, who grew up shrimping on the W with their parents each summer. Barb says they had a lot of fun, especially the boys, who later worked in the fishing industry as adults.
Bill always stressed to the boys, you have respect for the boat, and you have respect for the water. Yeah. Learn all you can about both, and never take extreme chances.
Barb's friends Kurt and Sherry Wolhuter own the Betty, a wooden fishing boat nearly as old as the W. They've fished her for decades, and their daughters grew up fishing. The Wolhuters say a fishing family's relationship with their boat runs deep.
It's not just a piece of iron. It's not just a piece of wood. You know, it's kind of got its own soul, you know, even though I don't, you know, really, you know, can't really get around that, you know, in a way. But, you know, I mean, you know, there's a real relationship there with those boats. Not only just making a living for you, but making a living for the community, and it's a part of who you are, and it's what it is.
It's the farm and working the land.
Yeah.
You become attached.
Yeah.
When Bill Grenier Jr. became skipper of the Charles W., she was already 76 years old. Her keel was laid in Docton, Washington in 1900, according to Jeannie Norheim, chair of the Friends of the Charles W. in Petersburg. Norheim says she was built by a man named Larson, who worked at the local timber mill there.
Every night when he went home, he'd take a plank with him from the sawmill. And that's how he started building the W. He laid the keel. But it took him many years. I think it was like 1907 or maybe it was 11 or 12, somewhere in there, where he finally got it, built enough to fish it.
She was originally named the Annie J. Larson after the shipbuilder's wife, and she had no pilot house or engine at first. She was rigged as a sailboat, and the crew used her for longlining in Puget Sound. They slept aboard her at night, but they did the actual fishing from small boats, halibut dories. Eventually, she got an engine and a pilot house, and they fished her in Alaska. During Prohibition in the early 20s, the boat was used for an entirely different purpose, according to Norheim.
Well, they started running booze from Vancouver, B.C. to Seattle, And then somehow or other, somebody either squealed on him or something happened, because the Coast Guard found the boat, the Annie J, floating around down there in Puget Sound with nobody aboard. No booze, no money, no people, no anything. So they took and confiscated it.
The boat remained tied to the dock in Seattle until the late 20s, when she was sold at auction to Petersburg businessmen Earl Omer and Carl Sifferman. Sifferman renamed her the Charles W. after his father, and they set her up to fish for their company, Alaska Glacier Seafoods. She trawled the waters of Southeast for more than 70 years. Dave Omer Jr. now runs Petersburg's Trident Seafoods plant, which took over Norquest, which took over Alaska Glacier Seafoods, which was the company founded by his grandfather, Earl, in 1916. Omer says it was one of the many Southeast companies that depended on the pink shrimp fishery.
Shrimp fishing in this area was a much, much larger industry than it was the last 15, 20 years before we had to finally quit. I think I one time looked, there's 32 different shrimp fishing or shrimp processing companies in this area over the years, little ones that started and bought shrimp and went out of business. And through the 30s, we had, I think, 12 or 14 boats that were fishing shrimp at that time and supplying a hand-picking operation. That there were 300 to 400 people hand picking shrimp through the Depression. So it was a large, large industry during that period of time.
The processors picked, cooked, and canned shrimp, but Omer says they also shipped fresh shrimp prior to freezers coming online in 1926. Omer says the company got ice from nearby LeConte Glacier and packed fresh shrimp and ice shavings in a little wax cups for shipment to Seattle on the steamer.
I mean, I still can't quite comprehend the quality and the timing that would make that all work. But we in the 20s, fresh shrimp was delivered to Seattle.
The Charles W. was a key part of Omer's family business. She was one of the first boats to fish shrimp for them and one of the last.
It was the foundation. And then, you know, we were very, very fortunate, again, to have Bill Grenier, who, you know, plugged away day after day after day, getting up at 4, you know, 2 to 3 in the morning and going out fishing and delivering every single afternoon. And the Charles W., it was a fixture. We used to fish shrimp and process shrimp nearly 9 months a year, just about 10 months a year. And so virtually every single day, Charles W. left the harbor and came back in that afternoon to supply work for us.
When Norquest decided to stop buying shrimp, Bill Grenier got a letter from his son Joe, who worked for the company at the time. Barb Grenier says he added a postscript.
P.S. Sorry, Dad. Yeah. You know, yeah. Little handwriting there. Yeah. Love Joe, you know. Yeah. But, yeah, he had to write a letter to his dad and tell him that the cannery was kaput, you know.
and that's
a sad, you know, it's a bittersweet, actually. It's a bittersweet happening, yeah. You know.
By that time, Bill Grenier hadn't fished for several years, but after a lifetime of work in the industry, Barb says he was really affected by the news. Today, Bill Grenier lives at Petersburg's long-term care. He has Alzheimer's, but Barb's provided him with reminders of the Charles W., a detailed scale model made by a friend, and a painting of the vessel.
It was his lifestyle. It was a style of life that he really loved, and he enjoyed it. A lot of hard work, a lot of sleepless nights and many hours, but he just, I don't know, he just really, really enjoyed it.
The friends of the Charles W. had hoped to preserve the 108-year-old boat as a floating museum. With help from the city, Davy Omer, the local shipwright, and others, they kept her in the water. In 2006, they got her listed on the National Register of Historic Places. The friends, Jeannie Norheim, says she drew a lot of attention from visitors, even under her Visqueen shelter.
You know, it's been so documented for so many years that's the first thing everybody wants to see. Even this last summer, somebody called and said, would you mind if we lifted the Visqueen? Somebody wanted to take some pictures of it under the Visqueen. And I mean, it was a wreck then, you know.
But something about that boat.
Something about the boat that just kept people coming and coming to look at it. So, yeah, so I just am sad that it didn't work out.
The friends had been hoping to raise $650,000 for the restoration. Norheim says they tried 30 to 40 different organizations without success over the years. This winter they announced they had decided to scuttle her. It happened on a beautiful, flat, calm day in April. Kurt and Sherry Wohlhuter and several other volunteers aboard the fishing vessel Matilda Bay took the Charles alongside out to Frederick Sound to the site where another historic boat, the Bernice A., was scuttled years before. The spot was in view of Sandy Beach Road, where some local families like the Omers and the Norheims watch from their windows. As the Matilda Bay pulled away from the Charles W., the water was like a mill pond, and it got dusky as the sun was going down. Sherry Wohlhuter says the W. was ready.
And everyone got really quiet. And you watched her, and she turned toward town. And there was a beautiful silhouette of her just pointing to town in her mask. And she hung like that for just a long time. And then eventually she turned around, pointing out of town, and the stern started slipping down. And she just had this graceful, poetic roll. And when she went down and you saw the mask go over, the last thing you saw as she slipped in, it was hardly a ripple, was the bow going down and the port side, the name Charles W.
Painted
just
up.
Painted up.
Not
was
the
just
side
right
that
there.
It was just, you know,
it was the
on,
better
the side
that down. Showed her name.
While the real Charles W. now rests at the bottom of the Sound, she's unlikely to be forgotten. The Wallhuters saved several items from the boat, a wooden jump seat where Barb Grenier sat all those years of trawling with her husband Bill, the original brass throttle handle, the pilot house windows. There's also a large mural of her on the front of the Coastal Cold Storage Building in Petersburg and countless photos, paintings, and video. The Charles W. was not just a boat. She was part of local history and a way of life. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.